Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting starring a variety of awesome people. I'm recording this after the fact because apparently somebody attacked my soundboard, not mentioning any names, but it was probably my cat, if it wasn't me, and adjusted the volume so that I sound a little distorted and clipped throughout this recording. I apologize, there's not really much I can do to fix that. Everyone else sounds great, though, so give it a listen for their sake, I guess? Okay, well, I've deleted the old intro and replacing it with this one, and now on with the episode. Enjoy.
Where we left off last time, the Smoll Patrol had managed to kill some type of extra planar creature that has found its way to the material plane and the kobold lair. It had too many arms? 6 arms is too many arms, especially if you're using them as claw attacks against our friends and family members, which it did, but it was vanquished. Socks was able to help by cowering in the corner and saying nope a lot, which actually did convey advantage to the rest of the party. So that was a help. He was a contributing factor in the success of the adventure. It was discovered that this being had a ring on it that was identical to a ring that Sox had acquired, shall we say, in the Shadowfell, which is the last place that he encountered a creature like this, which is one of the creatures that he noped his way on away from. With the understanding that the ring was actually magical and provided resistance to cold, Sox immediately went outside, remembering to close the door behind him, built a snow dragonborn, as one tends to do, and then was visited by the vision of a being made entirely of worms. And a good time was had by none.
You said maybe the being made entirely of worms.
It didn't seem to enjoy the experience either. It referred to Sox as meat and then vanished. In a creepy fashion. Now, it has been several days since that event. What have you done with the rings?
Sox had one.
And Daldane, I want to say, had the other?
Yeah, I hadn't decided whether to attune to it or to let someone else do it. But
okay.
I think I'm going to attune to it.
Okay. Well, some information is conveyed over this time, and while I'm talking, you, of course, can press the long rest button because you've had several long rests over this period of time.
Okay. We might have done that. Let's see.
And while you're doing that, take a note as to whether or not you have inspiration, because spend your inspiration points, dagnabbit.
Yeah, I don't have any. I must have spent it. <I don't know. laughs>
It's quite possible that you did. I think you spent more inspiration than most. In this campaign, definitely.
In this campaign, anyway.
Also seem to not have it.
Okay. Well, that's good news, because that means I can actually award it to you. Mm-hmm. Because if I can't award inspiration and you earn it, I'm going to give it to your opponents.
I have inspiration, but I literally got it at the end of last session, and it's the first inspiration I've had since the first session.
Okay.
Fair enough. So,
with that said, the recent incursions on the temple grounds and what's going on underneath as well have caused some disruption. The clerics of Bahamut that reside in the temple above the kobold stronghold did talk to the local officials about the revenant that came in and tried to wreak havoc. They were not particularly thrilled that such an event occurred. And considering Coomeridge's history of undead beings trying to do bad things, this was taken to heart. News has gotten back to you that quite recently, yesterday morning, in fact, the Revenant did try to find its way through again, but at this point, the Cumridge Guard were keeping a closer watch on who was going through the gates and were able to identify, oh wait, that guy's not breathing? And he didn't make it all the way through. The great news for this is a revenant, when their body is destroyed, while they can possess another corpse, reanimate it, and use that as their body with all their abilities, Cumridge has a tradition that they've been following for 100 years now, give or take, of cremating their dead. So there aren't any bodies around. So the Revenant has to go all the way to Gorsgate, which is a 3 days walk through the swamp, to find the closest bodies. There might be a few in the swamp, but most of them were already animated corpses, so those weren't useful for it. But this might, if they can keep this up, not be a problem. Revenants really only have about a year before they lose all of their power and just move on to the next plane anyway. The place that he's from, Husan, was destroyed over a year ago. So their best guess is that he was originally one of the dwarves that was captured by kobolds, kept as a prisoner for a while before killed brutally. That said, that problem seems to be sorted. The other problem is the six-armed creature that tried to make Gox look like he'd been thrown through a chipper shredder. And that concerned a few more of the kobolds than the Revenant did, because the Revenant actually never made its way down to the kobold tunnels. It is obvious that it was an extraplanar creature. And after some inquiries made by your Dragonborn friend, Heskin, I think his name is, the cook, apparently there is a local expert in planar research. Local as in Cumridge, not local as in near the temple at all. There is a gnome named Fiddlepunch Ironwrench who maintains an observatory at the northern end of Cumridge Valley. Your tunnel structure is in the southern end. It would be maybe a day's walk if you kept up a good pace, but you would be able to go to him and ask for advice and information and exposition.
Well, if it's still winter, we can't exactly walk there.
Or rather, two of us can, the other two of us can't.
Cannot. We'd have to split the party. Mm-hmm.
Splitting the party has never resulted in anything bad happening.
Oh, no, never.
Especially not in the other campaign. Oh, no. I mean, in the other campaign, the party seems to enjoy splitting. Because every time I try to use machinations to get them back together, the first thing you do is, okay, let's split up.
Yeah, there's that. It does happen.
We split
that
up
is
in
exactly
two groups
what
last
happened.
Time. Let's
yeah,
split up into
it's
three
exactly
groups this
what
time.
Okay, we could try to send, like, a letter to the person asking him to come to the temple.
Assuming any of us can write. Gox can't write.
Unless you state otherwise, when you have a proficiency in a language, it is assumed that if the language has a written version, you can read and write it.
Okay. I just imagine his handwriting would be atrocious.
And also, if you canonically want to say, hey, my character is too dumb to be able to write, that's fine.
He might be. His wisdom is zero.
Well, the plus is...
It's a plus zero, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, his wisdom is 10, but I don't know. I just don't imagine this character would be like... I don't think he'd have like perfect penmanship, you know? I think it'd be like scrawled out there, like, what did he write, you know?
He's got a bunch of words, but they don't necessarily form a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You may have used a verb as a noun in three places.
Right.
No respect for the Oxford comma whatsoever.
And random all caps, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Well, tonight is pizza night.
Oh, good.
So you can be discussing this around pizza. So this okay. way, when Chris is playing Socks, he can be totally in character. because apparently he has pizza.
Mm-hmm. That's spinach and chicken.
Sounds good to me. I like that combination. I've ordered that on more than one occasion, but that's a digression. So one thing that you are all aware of, because none of you is playing, well, maybe Gox isn't aware of this, but Gox is Gox. But the rest of you are aware, because none of you is from Circulus, where kobolds are not native to begin with. There is a bit of animosity, usually, between kobolds and gnomes. Most notably, the god of kobolds tried to enslave gnomes, and it didn't work out so well for him. He got imprisoned in a maze for all of eternity. Kobolds have understandably resented this for quite some time now. And some kobolds don't even understand why they're angry at gnomes, but they still tend to do practical jokes and or try to kill gnomes when they encounter them. However, the local expert on interplanar travel happens to be a gnome.
So we're going to write a gnome a letter. Maybe?
You also all were on a flying city that was built mostly by gnomes. But you were also all charmed while you were on that city. So.
Let's not forget the giant dirigible that brought them here.
Also built by a gnome.
Right.
My gnome.
Uh-huh. So, you might have mixed feelings. You might have positive feelings about gnomes. But the general consensus, if you wish to stereotype kobolds, which I know is koboldist, is that gnomes are perhaps not the best thing.
So, do you want me to write the letter, or...?
I can write.
Noble Galdon should write.
Oh, yeah, she's our leader, so. I mean, our leader. Our, the actual leader probably shouldn't write the letter because, you know.
He's an idiot?
Yeah. The fact that Xelia and Tess are getting along slightly better does not really mean that Xelia is particularly nice about him.
Okay, so Daladin, write letter. Daladin, good at words. Okay, but what do we tell this gnome?
That things are crazy. I don't know.
We should tell him about the worst bird, too.
We should tell him Heskin said to talk to him. He knows Heskin.
Yeah. Okay. And what else? Oh, we should tell him that monster with all those arms that disappeared.
When you're done with the writing, can I get the letter so I can add something?
Okay.
So, monster from the Shadowfell that none of us can really remember too great. Worst bird. We remember worst bird.
Mm-hmm. Worst bird.
You remember the monster from the Shadowfell. Because you didn't...
We can't remember the Shadowfell.
Yes.
The monster we can remember, the Shadowfell we cannot remember too great.
Well, it's a give and take. Sox, at this point, has very vivid memories of the creature that you all fought. And his experiences with it in the Shadowfell. He has perhaps too much of a vivid memory of the being made of worms, because he has encountered that outside of the Shadowfell also. It's almost as if once you encounter it on the material plane, it unlocks those memories. Achievement unlocked.
Okay.
I will forever hate getting achievements now. Thank you, Crash.
Aww. So we're eating pizza, and we're writing a letter to a gnome who we don't know about stuff we can't remember.
Well, the main thing to worry about is there's things from another plane, ostensibly the Shadowfell, attacking you here. And you'd like it to not.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
Okay. So we'll assume that Daldane writes a wonderful letter. Do you make it flowery prose, or do you make it be matter of fact? Oh, there we go. It's been
There's
written.
A letter.
Yes. Dear Mr. Gnome Expert, our friend Heskin recommends that we contact you about some strange occurrences in and near our warren. We have been recently attacked by a revenant and by a creature made of arms that dissolved once we defeated it, and one of our pack has had a vision of a strange creature made of worms. Would you please visit as soon as you can? Being kobolds, we cannot tolerate the cold long enough to visit you. All the best. Sorry for the whole slavery thing. Daldy and the rest.
Wait, did I tell them about the worms?
Not to my knowledge.
No, I haven't told anyone about worms.
Nope. Okay, so we'll leave out the creature made of worms part. Because so far as the rest of the small patrol knows, that didn't happen.
Definitely, yeah, we don't know.
But having a creature made of arms that dissolved is...
troubling enough.
Yes.
Yep.
I will type what I would like to add when I borrow the letter.
Okay. What amuses me the most about this letter is your group knows about the whole slavery thing that was attempted, so far as your religion says. The gnomes of Circulus have no knowledge of this whatsoever. The majority of them don't even know that kobolds exist. They're actually, canonically on Circulus, there are, I think, 3 gnomes total that were born on Circulus that know that kobolds exist. And one of them is a player character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Actually, no, four.
Four,
because
yeah.
Because the Iron Wrenches, that's 2. Galen,
yeah,
that's 1.
Right.
And Ed, that's mm-hmm. 1.
Yeah.
So 4 gnomes total. The rest of them don't know anything about the history between gnomes and kobolds.
So when Sox gets the letter, he writes this and folds it up so no one else sees it. It reads, P.S. This is Sox of the Kobolds. I've been experiencing visions of a worm creature that I saw when we were in the Shadowfell. I have been seeing it here in Cambridge. Please come and help me with this.
Oh. I'm going to assume that misspelling is canonical.
Which, oh, all right.
Yeah. That works too. All right. So, all right. So you write that, and how do you intend to send the letter?
Pulp or air pulp?
We could give it to the priest.
Give it to the dragonborn.
Ellie, oh, yeah. Ellie, I am upset that you said that because I was inhaling for me to suggest that as an option.
Sorry.
How dare you be in my head? Okay, so you give it to Heskin, and Heskin's like, okay, I'll see if I can give this to someone to send it to. You know I don't actually know who this gnome is, right? I'm not from here?
No, we know that, but we don't really go outside. You know, snow, death.
Cold is bad.
Weren't you building a snowman outside 3 days ago?
Okay, there's 2 of us that can go outside, and we've never been outside much. I don't want to get lost in the snow.
Well, it is kind of high. Okay, well, next time I'm going into town for food, supplies, I'll see what I can do.
Also, I'm the one that can banish things, and they've been showing up near him.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've been showing up near me. Can you please make it urgent?
How about I go into town to buy some apples. I'm going to have some apples today. We're low on apples. We'll have applesauce tomorrow. I think I'll do that.
You are a wonderful thing.
Yeah. You too. Gee, look at the time. I should probably get going now. And one of the clerics that is nearby to hear this conversation is like, you sure? I mean, the sun set an hour ago. It's dark. And no, it's okay. I think I can go now. That's fine. The moon's out. I'm okay. And he heads out. So it's...
okay.
A couple days go by, and there is a morning a few days later where those kobolds who are up in the temple area assisting Heskin with the cooking, even inside the temple, hear a sort of... boom, tss, boom, tss, boom, And as you hear it, it slowly gets a little bit louder.
They're having disco night without us.
You think it might be at a faster tempo, maybe, if it was disco night? Also, there's no flashing lights, and that seems to be a prerequisite.
We should go see what that is.
How's it roll?
Yeah!
Okay,
so you go to the windows of the temple, because it's still freezing cold outside. It is still winter. Now, this canonically is after the kobolds have dug a tunnel to the farm where everyone else in the other campaign lives.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've discovered is no one's there right now except for two animated suits of armor filled with fire who were apparently left to guard the farm. Everyone else is off on a mission up north somewhere. There wasn't a lot of explanation for it. So as you look through the stained glass windows, they're all shaped like wagon wheels. It's kind of odd, but they are. You assume there's a reason for it. Maybe Bahamut really likes wagons. You don't know. You can see what looks like a large humanoid that's slowly walking down the road towards the temple.
Is it going to murder us?
Nah,
of course not.
The last time someone
burst in... We're better at murdering stuff than it.
The last time someone burst in here, it tried to murder us.
But it didn't murder us. We got him. I took off its head. We can try again. Have to climb it, though. Kind of tall.
While you're talking, it gets closer. And when I said large, I meant according to D&D standards for small, medium, large, gargantuan, etc., it's large. It fits that size requirement. It doesn't really have a head. Its arms are quite bulky. And in the center of its chest, well, maybe not the center, maybe up a little bit, there appears to be a large glass window. It's hard to see through it. It's a bit foggy. Not the area around you, but the window is fogged up.
The window we're looking through or the window on the thing?
The window on the thing.
Okay.
You're able to take like a sleeve or something and wipe the condensation off of the stained glass window to peek through. You're a bit too far away to do that for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that thingy is natural. I think it might be like those armor suits.
But it's not on fire.
Well, yeah, but...
Not yet.
It's going to be if it tries to mess with us.
Okay. Well, should we go... Like, we should go get in its way so it doesn't attack all of the kobolds.
Are you forgetting that you're not immune to cold?
Well, it's going to get here eventually. It's going to come in.
Do you want me to go out and scout a little?
Well, I think we can see it from here.
Yeah, but I mean, get a closer look at it.
At this point, it's less than 25 feet from the front door. So It's been moving at a pretty good clip.
Wow.
How far away is it from us?
Well, you're right next to the front door because you're looking out the windows on either side of it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stand in the way. I'm going to stand like right in front of the door.
So it looks like it's trying to murder anyone.
Nobody out there to murder. There's no one there yet. It could be coming for us like that undead dwarf guy did.
It has come to a stop. It's about 10 feet from the front door. And so there's no more thump sounds. The thump sounds were from the feet hitting the ground as it was stepping. A large amount of steam comes out of it through various vents, and it slowly sinks down. The legs are sort of going into the torso. And once it has sunk down to the point where someone of kobold height would be able to walk up to the window and look in, it opens up like a porthole, and there is a gnome inside with a variety of controls.
Well, that was unexpected. Is this the gnome we sent a letter to?
Maybe.
Well, I'm guessing it's not just some random gnome.
I don't know anymore. Things have been kind of random lately.
This world is weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should say hi or something.
At this maybe point, he has walked up to the front door of the temple and knocked.
I'll
open
get it,
the door!
I'll get it. Yeah, but you can't because of the snow.
Oh, I'm going to back away from the door a little bit because cold is bad.
Only Delvain and I can.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And I open the door.
Okay. So you open the door and the gnome is directly in front of you and he says, "Someone called for a gnome expert?"
Yes, that was us.
Hello. Hi.
I thought so. Oh, kobolds come in different colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Interesting. May I come in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Wipe your feet.
He comes in, he wipes his feet. One of the clerics that's nearby relighting candles, because of course it's a temple. There's someone who has to relight candles, says, "Thanks for reminding him to wipe his feet."
I got you.
They give you a thumbs up and go about their business. Thank you for that comment in Discord, Ellie. However, considering that the sun is up, you suspect that if he's a vampire, he would be dust at this point. Unless he's wearing SPF 2000.
He could have a ring that counters that. You don't know. You've never seen the Vampire Diaries. You don't know.
The Vampire Diaries are not canonical to Circulus.
Oh, they're the best.
And neither is Twilight. So
that one, I'm glad, is not canonical.
So, you know, I giveth and I taketh away.
Anyway, he's got a giant stompy robot, so who knows what vampires can do.
Exactly.
Hmm. This is true. He says, "Okay, well, I got your letter."
Oh, good.
"And I'm a little disturbed by what you told me. Were there any other attacks besides the one that you mentioned?"
"Yes."
He looks over at Sox.
"I am Sox. I'm assuming you read the rest of the letter."
Yes, I did. I'm assuming that you wish that to be kept secret.
Please.
Okay.
At least twice to make.
Okay. Can you show me where the attacks happened?
I ask Zeely, Gox, to stand back a little.
Sure.
Open the door. Lead him outside. Point to where it was.
Okay. And he pulls out some staves that he was apparently keeping in a bag of holding. And he plants them in the ground around where you say the attack happened. And he pulls out a small device that looks like a flat slab of something where one side of it's made of glass. And he taps on it in various places, then shakes it and taps on it again and says, "Not really seeing a lot of extraplanar activity residue here." And he goes on to say a bunch more technobabble that no one understands. Give me an insight check.
Four dice. Nope, five.
Okay, so yeah, he sounds really impressive. And you said there was more than one. Did they both happen at this spot?
No, the other one was down in the caves.
Okay. May I see that spot?
Yeah. I take him back and close the door.
Okay, he leaves the staves stuck into the snow where he put them.
Lead them down to where it was.
Okay. Everyone, I'm assuming you all follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at that point, I want everyone to give me an insight check.
Okay.
Do I do another one, or do I...
This is an additional insight check because it's different information.
Okay.
Whoa!
I have a 6 plus 3.
Everything.
For me.
You can see forever.
I got a 10.
Doldane just naturally sees all the math equations just flying around her head. You instantly have deduced the universal theory that holds all of the universe together. You even know what happens. Sorry?
Go ahead.
You have disappointingly figured out that the hokey pokey is in fact what it's all about.
Sadly, my wisdom is only a 10, and so I don't know what to do with it.
Well, wisdom is abundant, intelligence is scarce. That said, so Zeely doesn't notice any of what I'm about to say, but she's focused on other things, so you know that's understandable. What was Sox and Gox's roles?
Also
I had a 6, and insight is, let's see, plus 3.
Okay, so we got a 9 and 2 tens, and a nat 20. So the only person who really notices this is Daldane, which fits because Daldane has a lot of experience reading a room as a bard. Escorting a gnome through the lair of a kobold clan is a major scandal of the highest order. It's the equivalent of bringing a student into the teacher's lounge. It's just not done. But none of the kobolds who are seeing this are really high ranking, so there's just like gasps and covered mouths, and one kobold that for some reason happened to have a monocle. It's not his monocle, he found it somewhere. But the monocle just sort of like falls away from his eye into his cup of water that he was drinking out of. There's a little spoosh sound. Daldane's aware of this, the rest of you are clueless.
Oblivious. You're just going, here we go.
Yeah.
Do.
Yep. You're thinking, well, that monocle does not stay on. Has he tried glue?
Daldane pulls herself a little taller and tries to look more authoritative.
Okay. So you take Fiddle Punch to the storeroom where you found this thing, and he sets up more staves. He can't stick them into the ground like he did above ground, well, technically into the snow, but he is able to lean them against walls and stuff.
Seema uses mold earth to make little things to put them in.
Thank you. That is very useful. Thank you very much.
What do these things look like?
They look like a staff with a crystal that glows on the top of them. There's also a bunch of little metal bits around them and sticking out in various places that you have no idea what they're for, but you don't think these would hold up if used as a weapon.
No, that's what I was looking at.
No, they're clearly not weapons. No. They're decorative. Maybe they could light your way, but you don't need them to because you can see in the dark.
Right.
And gnomes can too, so you don't know what they're for. Wizard stuff. Zili probably knows all about it.
So he's got a bunch of fancy sticks.
Yes, that he's pulling out of a bag that they shouldn't be able to fit into.
Mm-hmm.
And he sets them up and he does some more tapping on this flat thing that he has. And he says, well, definitely getting a reading here, but it didn't start here. It came to here if it happened in here. But it didn't start here. It started from somewhere else. But if I triangulate... And this goes on for a little while. You start to get a little bored.
And Gox is turning his head sideways and staring at this gnome that is completely indecipherable to him. Huh?
Yeah. And
he's starting Gox is wondering if the gnome is actually speaking a language that's understandable to anyone other than gnomes at this point.
Well, he's totally speaking common for everything he says, but you're not entirely sure what the meaning of these words stuck in this order is.
That's why he's like, maybe it's a different language. Cause,
Yeah, this goes on for a full 2.5 minutes or so. And then he says, right, we're going to have to go to a different room or hallway, but I think it came from this way. And he points back out the door.
Is that in the direction of where we are centered the Shadowfell? Do I remember where that location was?
Well, this particular room is on the outer edge of the tunnels that the kobolds have been making. So I'm going to say yes, but at this point, so is where you eat. So is the exit. So is everything else.
Right. Going then.
Okay. So you go back through, and there's more gasps. Like, he's still here. Why'd they bring him? Is he food? No, I heard him talk. He's talking meat. We don't eat that. Maybe it's a practical joke. It's not very funny.
Are we hearing them say
at this point, do the rest of us know?
Without passive perception of 18.
Okay, so Sox definitely hears this. The rest of you are going to require a perception check.
I rolled a 15 on that.
You're hearing it too.
Let's think now.
What you're understanding is they're saying the gnome is not very funny.
Yeah. Well, you know. Gox is thinking, I don't understand him either, so.
13?
A 13, you know that the other kobolds are talking, but they're not trying to be overheard, so you're missing a bunch of it. And I see... No, wait, it was just you that rolled. Okay. So he leads you to what is the door to the room that you've been keeping all of the treasure in.
Before we get there, though, I want to just turn around to whispering kobolds. All right, show's over. Move along. He's here to help. Move. Go. Shoo.
Help? Gnomes don't help kobolds.
I'm going to go stand next to my brother and look menacing so the kobolds will go and listen to him and go away.
Okay. At this point, Zeely sort of picks up on what's going on. She kind of was distracted by trying to figure out all the magic babble. And she goes over and says, right, yes, he's magic too. We're having magic talk.
Different world, different rules. Shoot, move on.
So, Gox,
mm-hmm.
I would like you to give me an intimidation check. But okay. Because you are trying to look menacing, I will allow you to add your strength bonus.
Okay, well, I've rolled an 18.
So that brings it up to 20.
Strength is 20.
So there are kobolds scurrying away on all fours.
There we go.
Okay.
Little vultures.
Okay. Now, you do realize that this guest has appeared, and you've led him directly to where your clan keeps all of their treasures.
Mm-hmm. And you, don't touch anything. I mean, no, don't touch anything. Some of the stuff in here is magic.
I promise to ask first if the need arises.
You can fix this, right?
More information is required.
Mm.
I am currently trying to fix multiple problems at the same time. You aren't the only people I'm trying to help. There's this one half-elf that... Oh, don't get me started.
I will cut you.
Hey, you're just asking to stop things from coming here from somewhere else. I got people asking me to send them places. That's a lot harder.
You can send people places?
I'm sure he
has
his
reasons. Well, not yet.
Oh.
Okay. I'm sure he has his reasons.
I can send people...
I know he does, but still.
...away for a little bit.
I can send people away, but it involves breaking their face and killing them.
Yeah, but then their body's still here. But,
yeah, but they aren't.
In any case, would one of you please open the door?
Open it. Yeah.
Okay. Not Daldane. Sox, with your 18 natural perception, you immediately notice that something has scurried out of the room once the door was opened.
What the hell is that?
Looks like a large rat.
Stomp on it.
Give me an attack roll.
Unarmed strike, people. That's a natural 17 plus a lot, plus 7, so 24.
Okay, this thing did not have a 24 for its armor class. Give me some damage roll.
Was it surprised?
It's usually surprising when you run through a door and immediately get stepped on.
Go, sneak attack.
And technically, pack tactics, you could have rolled with advantage if you wanted to.
I will just see if I can. Right, it was a natural 20.
Squished it.
So there's a YouTube channel called CinemaSins, and anytime the name of the movie is mentioned, they say roll credits. So yep, I love every time CinemaSins. I get to say
Peck. Great.
Yeah.
So there's a sec, and there's a. That makes a 10, and then a sneak attack dice. It up to. That's a 20 total.
Okay, so
for an unarmed strike, people.
Wow.
So there is now a red smear and a few stray limbs.
Don't mess with a monk rogue hybrid.
Well, I don't know what that was, brother, but you got it. Good job.
And a small cube that goes bouncing down the hall.
Uh-oh.
Cube.
Zilly chases it.
Okay. Another rat runs past you and grabs the cube with its face.
web!
Okay, what do I have to roll?
The rat needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. That's a nat one.
That's a fail.
So this rat is now sort of hovering about a few inches off the ground, caught in the sticky webbing that is filling the hallway, and the cube is still firmly attached to its face.
Give me that. Zili sort of goes rooting around inside the web, trying to get at the...
Okay. I am going to require a strength check from you to see if you can pull this cube away from the rat. Because when I say it's holding it with its face, I don't mean with its teeth. There are little tentacles sprouting out around its mouth that are wrapped around this cube.
Oh, that's not a normal rat.
That's...
How far away is this from where I am?
Oh, it didn't get far at all before it got webbed.
Okay. Hmm.
Come on, you horrible little thing! Give me this cube! I could set you on fire if I wanted to!
Oh, fire! Good call.
You might have to, yeah.
Okay, well, this is a contested roll, so you got a 7 minus 3. But just so you know, rats are themselves not known for being very muscular.
True!
And it helps if I don't roll a d12.
I don't know what weird tentacle rat's strength score is, though.
Well, let's put it this way. I just rolled what its negative modifier is. So I rolled a 0. You managed to rip it free. There's still one tentacle wrapped around the cube.
Ha!
And I just want to throw a radiant sunbolt at the little thing, because that is terrifying.
I'm not even going to require you to roll to hit or for damage, because even if you miss, you're going to light the web on fire. And that will do enough damage to create a rat kebab.
We do a lot of fire in this group.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
I mean, mine's is radiant fire, but still. In fact, so is Gox, I think.
Zili was actively involved in this fire, though, because she's the one who created the fuel.
Yeah.
Well, the non-squeaking fuel. Now, meanwhile, Fiddle Punch is... looking at this scene with one raised eyebrow, and he's saying, are rat-squid hybrids common here? Or is that new?
No.
That's new. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I kind of wish you'd saved one of them for study, but,
There's probably more.
Hey, I'm not the one who lit it on fire.
I'm sorry.
True.
Rat with tentacles coming out of it. That is freaky, okay?
I still have a tentacle.
We have the tentacle. There you go.
So, Fiddle Punch pulls out a set of what's effectively tweezers, although it has a bunch of things attached to it that you're not entirely sure serve any useful purpose other than making it look fancier. And he sort of like pries the tentacle off of the cube. It's still wiggling. You imagine you could use it for fishing. He says, this is the third most disgusting thing that I've had to deal with this week.
What about the first two?
He just looks at you and says, you really, really don't want to know.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Curious.
Look, my husband's a druid who studies beetles. Things get weird.
Hmm.
And he takes this tentacle and he puts it in another bag, and he puts that bag inside a bigger bag. He does not, in fact, nail the bag to himself and smash it with a hammer. If he does, this is something that's going to happen later when he gets to the post office. Okay, so he says, okay, well, I'll study that later, probably. Let's set up these things. So he sets up more of those staves. You don't know how many he has in this bag of holding, but he hasn't run out yet. This is the third time he's setting up more, and he hasn't taken any of them down. Okay, yeah, this is the epicenter, and, one second. Who's holding the cube?
Zili.
Okay, he looks over at Zili and says, pardon me, what's your name?
Zili!
Okay, nice to meet you, Zili. Do me a favor, could you take a step back?
Okay.
Okay, take a step forward.
Okay.
Take a step back.
It's tracking the cube, isn't it?
Meanwhile, Daldane is realizing that this is what it's all about.
God damn it. I hate everything about you right now.
He says, well, there's some residual energies here, but that cube is definitely a part of this. Do you know what it does?
I'm going to assume bad things.
Well, I could look at it closer to check, but I'm gonna assume it's the one that the baby kobolds grabbed that Stratus saw in the...
Yeah. That is currently attuned to one of those baby kobolds.
The baby kobolds are the only ones that can activate it, because one of them attuned to it. It's kind of a problem.
Huh. That's interesting.
And I just now realized that I should have been talking weird, because Zili's common has issues. I keep forgetting we're talking in common now. Sorry.
It's okay. So... Fiddle Punch taps on this tablet a bit more, and he says, okay, well, you know, this is a theory based on some data that I've collected from previous incidents. It is possible that when this was used, that it sort of weakened the fabric of space-time a little bit, so that other things could come through without its use. If you were to use that again, I would definitely use it somewhere else, because it's already been used more than once here, and that's causing problems.
It's been used more than once?
You left and you came back. That's twice.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, other things that are over there in the Shadowfell can wander through here. Does that mean if we wander around the wrong way here, we'll end up in the Shadowfell?
Looking at this, no, maybe. At this point, it's definitely weaker here, where it's more easy to pass through here, but at the same time, you would need something to focus on, something that links you to the Shadowfell, or something in the Shadowfell would have to have something that links it to here. Did you bring anything back with you from the Shadowfell?
No, but I did give someone in Shadowfell my hat.
I put my hand up with the ring on it.
Ah, this makes a few things more clear.
Did I have to give up the ring?
Did the creature you fought have anything with it?
Loss. I have the sun ring.
Oh, okay. Well, I have good news and bad news. The good news is, if there were only two rings, there's nothing else for these things to focus on to bring them here, because everything's on this side already. So the problem's already solved.
Oh, good.
If there's only two rings.
Oh.
And the rings could even be linked with something else. I mean, maybe they were matching earrings. Maybe they were part of a set.
What about...
So things are coming here because of jewelry?
It wouldn't have to be jewelry. You said you left a hat there?
Yeah, I gave my hat to Tim. He seemed like he needed it. I'm not sure why now, but I'm pretty sure he needed it.
Okay. Well, that might be okay if Tim isn't behind these attacks.
Tim was nice. He got us back.
Okay. Of course, it might also be a problem if anything got to Tim and got the hat. Because that hat is linked to you.
Oh, but then wouldn't the creatures show up around her when they get here?
Possibly, or they might come through right here because this is the weakest spot currently. At least the weakest spot on this side of Coomeridge.
Let's not talk
about Northern Coomeridge.
What about the thing I've been seeing?
What have you been seeing?
We'll talk about it later.
The thing you mentioned in your note. Did you actually feel it?
Did I feel it when it touched me in the Eggler?
You remembered the hand appearing on your shoulder, but there was enough going on that you're not sure if you actually felt it touch your shoulder or not.
What about in the caves? I don't think it touched me in the caves.
The only time where it appeared to have physical contact with you was after you burrowed in and made yourself an igloo.
I don't remember.
Okay.
There's a lot going on.
I imagine so. It's totally understandable. Well, with that said, it might not be coming through physically yet. It might just be I don't want to be that person that says it's all in your head, but in this case, it might actually be in your head. That does not mean it's good news, however. If it builds... Sorry?
So I'm crazy?
Well, we're all a little crazy, but that's not what I mean. It is possible that it has developed some type of psychic link with you. If that link becomes strong enough, it could use you as its focus to get in here. But if it hasn't actually physically interacted with anything, it might actually still be in the Shadowfell, just linking up with you mentally. Has anyone else seen it?
Nope.
I have no idea what you're talking about, except that it's probably what's been making him act weird, so no.
They don't know what...
So, this is a problem that could very easily get worse, but right now, it might be better than you thought it was.
Okay.
Short-term good news, long-term bad news.
Well, long-term unsure news.
This is true. I do have some devices that I've been developing for somewhat unrelated reasons that I might be able to set up in here if you're willing to let me, that might help to mitigate and ward the area from extraplanar travel. It wouldn't...
That would be nice.
It wouldn't... banish anything that has already found its way over, but it would make it harder for things to pass through. And I should specify that means both ways. Zeely, you said you could banish things?
Yeah.
That is an incredibly useful ability. Once I set these up, you would not be able to banish anything within their proximity. Or at least it would be much more difficult to do.
What about other abilities? Will they be affected?
Any ability that involves extraplanar travel.
I kind of feel like somebody's going to mess with these shiny sticks.
Oh, the shiny sticks are just a measuring tool. I can take those down. I could take them down now, actually. I just need to set up some other things that are a bit more unobtrusive. I had to ward my tower because demons were attacking it. That's a long story. The mode round helped.
Never mind. I don't understand most of what you say, mister. But that's okay. I think you're helping.
Just remember, brother, this place is weird as hell.
Yeah.
You don't know the half of it.
Okay, so you're gonna do something that makes stuff not come from the Shadowfell, but stuff that's still here we have to kill. Yes?
More or less. And at this point, he is already pulling small devices out of his bag of holding, and he is attaching them in their... Like, you're watching him attach these, so they're very noticeable to you, but they wouldn't stand out like a sore thumb to people who are just coming in and looking around the room. They're unobtrusive, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Would it be a good idea to just wipe everything out with radiant fire and start over?
Killing it with fire is usually a good idea, but I imagine the rest of your clan might take offense to you killing them with fire because they live here.
Yeah. That's
also, please let me get back home before you start doing that.
We're not blanketing the area with fire.
Radiant fire.
We're not doing that either.
Mm-hmm. I do have some plans that are still in the blueprint stage that would allow you to apparently create a large volume explosion from orbit. It would be the only way to be 100% sure.
What's orbit?
Are you offering us an orbital strike?
It's still in the blueprint phase. It would take me a few months, maybe a week and a half.
We're not doing anything from orbit. No orbit.
Where's orbit?
Up.
Oh.
Remember when,
looking
we,
up?
Remember when we were in the giant metal ship?
Uh-huh.
That was really high up. Orbit's even higher.
Wait a minute. Dirigible?
Yes. That's what it was. That's what he called it.
That's how we got here.
Very brilliant gnome.
He seemed a little pompous.
Well.
He was nice, though. He helped us.
I'm not going to lie. Your assessment of his personality is somewhat spot on. That said, his knowledge of aerodynamics is very well developed, and it helped me with some of my own designs, in fact. We had a lot of notes to exchange.
So you guys are friends?
I would say acquaintances that respect each other.
Gox tips his head to the side like he doesn't quite understand.
As the PC for Galen, I would agree with this. He is a very fond respect for Little Punch.
So long as you don't go anywhere near the big red button.
He murders people for that.
And none of you were allowed into the dirigible proper, so none of you have seen the big red button. However, you did have to sit through an hour and a half lecture on why you should not press it, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about that right after the whole, in the event of an emergency, your seat will become a flotation device. In the event that we crash over land, you're doomed. But your seat will be a flotation device, so whoever finds the wreckage would still be able to use it as a pool toy.
That sounds very Galen, to be fair.
I appreciate that after a while I do start to get a handle on how the character would react. It helps find another backstory.
It took you a while with Vex, but you got there.
Yeah. It was a lot easier for Sox.
Yeah.
Okay. So he sets those things up and he says, all right, so it looks like my work here is done. If you need any follow-up care, here's my card. And he hands you a card.
What does it say?
It says, Fiddle Punch Iron Wrench, gnome inventor and astronomer, inventor of telescopes and interdimensional contraptions of all sizes and shapes. Location, that one tower at the north end of nowhere. I'm still working on some of the wording.
It's good. It's a good prototype.
We're workshopping it.
That's a lot of words on one little card.
Oh, it's not little. It's...
Oh.
It's on card stock, but it's printed out A5. On 9x12 paper.
It's like A5 paper.
Okay.
He could reduce the font size to make it smaller, but he'd need to hand out a magnifying glass for most races to read it.
Okay.
Well, nice meeting.
Likewise. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to get going. It's taco night tonight.
Don't be a stranger, man. We're good with the hospitality.
Here, I'll walk with you to the door so nobody messes with you.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Yeah, I'll go too.
So he goes on his merry way.
Mm-hmm.
And as he marches off, not into the sunset, because it's still morning, you hear the rhythmic sound as he goes off. You're waving goodbye in the door.
Okay.
Nice gnome. Didn't seem to really care about the whole slavery thing.
Yeah. He's busy.
I don't know.
Maybe he's not much for religion.
True.
Could be. He sounds like he's got a lot of things to think about all the time.
Yeah, he sounds like he's the one that everyone kind of goes to for everything. I kind of feel bad for him.
And canonically, he actually isn't much for religion, so you hit the nail on the head pretty well.
That's right, yeah.
Someone with that personality in real life would be an atheist. He's seen the actual effects of actual deities doing things, so he has a hard time being an atheist, but...
As anyone would if they were seeing actual miracles happening.
There are a few gnomes that are atheists on Circulus. It's rare.
It's rare for anyone to be an atheist on Circulus.
Well, gods aren't that strong here on Circulus. Most of them.
At least in Cambridge, anyway.
Yeah. The imports... Like, Bahamut's done some stuff, and there are two other gods that you are aware of that are being worshipped in Circulus that you haven't really encountered them, but you've heard talk. Sylvanas has a strong following in Cumridge, as well as a god named Ilmater, and they are making waves because their clerics are actually quite powerful compared to the religions that have been here longer than 2 years.
Nature Domain Clerics.
What's this?
Nature Domain Clerics, baby.
Yeah. Apparently there were some visitors who just showed up one day and helped fight an ancient green dragon and an undead army, and they brought these gods with them, and apparently things were happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so everything seems to be going hunky-dory. And
change.
Yeah. It's pretty good. So you're going back down to the kobold tunnels, And you're walking past a closed door, and you hear a thump, and the door shakes.
That's not good.
Hello?
And this is a door that you know is to a storage room, not the treasure room. This is like foodstuffs and extra rope and things like that.
So somebody's messing with the food. We better see what's up. I'm going to open the door.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
That is horrifying.
Now, that is not terrifying. 100% what you see. You see the claws in the front? Mm-hmm. Imagine if instead of claws, those look like human hands.
Oh, okay.
And this creature looks like it's been banging its head against things more than once. There's a little bit of blood on its forehead where it's run into things. It is covered in a blue ichor or ichor, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And that is also smeared on various surfaces inside this room. Like, it thought it could walk through things, but could not.
And this is the room with the food?
This happens to be the room with the food, yes.
Okay. So, I think this thing has just ruined all our food. So, I would like to rage. And I'm going to try to swing at its head. I'm going to swing at its head.
Okay.
Man. So, we're in combat.
That would be a d20 roll.
Yeah. I got a 15. I don't know what I add that to, but I got a 15.
You add, are you raging?
Yes.
Yep.
Then you add a 7.
Okay.
So that hits and then some.
All right.
Okay, so roll d10 for damage.
D10 for damage.
Don't forget your d6 for your radiant damage.
Oh, right. Okay. So let me get a d10. D10. And that is a 9. And a d6 is a 3.
So 6 plus 4, because you're raging, so 10, plus 3, plus... So that's... try math in my head. That's 6 radiant damage, 10 pierce, bludgeoning, slashing.
Okay, I was looking up immunities and weaknesses. All right, okay. Your damage is noted.
Okay, I'm trying to find where on the character sheet to mark rage, and I don't see it. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. I got it. All right.
Okay. So I think it's
a scary thing.
I think it's safe to say that at this point we really should be rolling for initiative.
Yes. Yep. Don't forget you roll with advantage, Jen.
Oh, cool. All right. So I roll for initiative now?
Yes, and I'm going to call out number ranges.
Okay. So I have a 14 plus 2 to initiative, and then plus something else?
So did anyone get above 20?
Nope.
I got 20.
Okay. So Daldane got a 20. Did anyone get between 15 and 19?
15.
I think I did.
16.
Yeah, I have a 14 on the dice plus 2, so I'm in there somewhere.
So 16.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first between the two of you, Zili or Gox?
Who has the highest deck?
Oh, highest dexterity? I have 15.
My dexterity is 12, so I guess you go first.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, Daldane, you're first.
Okay. I'm going to polymorph it into a bunny.
As you do.
It has to make a wisdom saving throw at 13.
Give me an arcana check. Okay, with a 22 for your arcana check, not only does it make the save, you have a feeling that it had a very easy time making the save.
All right.
And next up is Gox.
Okay, I'm going to hit it again. And I've rolled a 14. I don't remember if I add... What do I add to that?
I think it would be a 7. That's what we said last time.
7, yes.
7? Okay, so 14
plus 7.
That
more than hits it. So you're whacking it again.
Uh-huh.
Another
so then
D10.
I roll a D10.
And a D6. And add something.
D10 is a 9.
So 9 plus 4 is 13. Slashing.
And D6 is a 2.
Plus 3 is 5 radiant.
There we are.
Okay. Zili.
Firebolt!
Well, she has 2 attacks.
Oh, I have 2 attacks?
Oh, that's right.
Well, let's do it again. All right, so the second one... Go ahead.
You don't add the radiant damage on your second attack. It's only the first attack when you're raging.
Okay.
And while you're doing this, you hear the unmistakable sounds of a ball of fire getting ready to be thrown.
Okay, well, I have some fire resistance, so I'm cool with that. I rolled a 9 on the dice.
So 16. Plus 7 will get you a 16, and that is not enough.
The
axe connects, but it sort of like glances and slides off this slime that's coating this thing.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
It is pretty gross. So, firebolt time. That is a 25 for a firebolt to hit roll.
But I have pack tactics going right, so I can roll again to see if it's a nat 20.
Yes, you can.
It is not. So, and because of my draconic ancestry thing, I get to add my charisma modifier to the damage.
But kobold sorcerers are fun.
Yep.
So, 8 fire damage.
Okay, so this fireball hits it smack in the face and explodes, and now its face is charred a little bit. You see the blue ichor just sort of, like, continuing to seep down around and cover up the charred bits. It's really gross to look at.
Oh, okay, so now I know you're not immune to fire, unlike the other thing, which was kind of fire-resistant-y. So, quickened chromatic orb! with a third level spell. No, let's not. Yeah, actually, let's third level. The others are AoEs, so.
A 22 will hit.
Thankfully, that second one is overridden and was the second roll anyway. Okay,
that's an alternate universe, Zeely. That isn't this Zeely.
Let's see.
Schrodinger's Zeely.
26 fire damage from the chromatic orb.
Crap!
I used a third level spell slot.
Okay, so a lesser DM would be upset at the game-breaking power of a kobold sorcerer. Me personally, Zeely's very existence gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm glad that Zeely exists in my campaign.
Zeely causes a lot of warm feelings, but most of them aren't so fuzzy.
I don't know. When that rat got flambéed, it was fuzzy before it died. Okay. Sox, you're bringing up the end of the initiative here.
Bringing up the rear. Okay, let's.
Well, not technically. This thing hasn't gone yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, so my brother's in range, melee range, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to go up to it and do a 2 attacks with my short sword. Both at advantage because of pack tactics, and that also means the first one gets sneak attack. Plus. So it's not going to hit, because you said a 16 didn't hit the first, yeah?
A 16 will not hit.
Okay, so the first one misses. Second, much better. That's a 21.
A 21 will hit.
So I get my sneak attack on that attack instead. Okay. That's a 4, plus a 4 is 8, plus 5 is 13 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And let's dump a key point and do Flurry of Blows for another 2 attacks. Even higher, so that'll hit. But I only get 1d6. 10 bludgeoning?
How do you want to do this?
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, wow. You got him.
I want to take the short sword and just slash it at the face and then spin around and just upper hook and snap it.
Okay. Now you are a bit covered in blue slime, but there's this epic slow motion thing where you're uppercutting it and its head snaps back and you're going up into the air because you jumped when you did the uppercut and it's flying kind of like up and backwards. Yeah, you are in the traditional Hadouken pose. You are asking, how do you do, Ken? A kobold that's walking by says, oh, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. How are you?
And then it gets covered in blue slime.
What the? Ah! I just washed this! Last month! I just washed this a month ago!
Prestidigitation.
Do I detect the hint of lavender? Oh, that is lovely. Meanwhile, there's still a slow motion thing of socks uppercutting this creature. And it's sort of flying backwards. And it speeds up just as it starts going back down and starts obeying the law of gravity again. And bounces a couple times and slides across the room and sort of makes a splat sound as it hits the far wall.
Prestidigitation, 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 prestidigitation. Ugh, that thing is disgusting.
As you prestidigitate the slime, it briefly forms letters before it evaporates completely, and it just says, "Flawless victory."
Okay, so the food is okay?
It didn't really touch any of the food. Give me an insight check.
Okay. It's a d20. I have a 4.
Anyone else want to give an insight check?
Yeah.
Sure. Where's my insight?
A 7 from Zeely is not going to do it.
Oh, wait. I have insight plus 3, so I have a 7.
An 18 from Daldane is much more palatable.
I got it.
You got a what?
12.
A 12. And what was Gox's number?
I rolled a 4, and insight is a plus 3.
Okay, so Daldane's the one who realizes this. The placement of where the slime was, and we can argue that because Zeely was so quick to clean everything up, it made it harder to notice because you weren't able to examine it longer. But it looks like this being wasn't really trying to attack or ruin anything in here. It was just trying to get out. It was trapped. And you realize it didn't actually attack any of you.
Well, that's because I hit it first.
You just walked in and murdered it in cold blood.
Well, it could have been attacking the food. That's really important. We need food to live.
Okay. It starts to dissolve.
Well, I guess it came from the Shadowfell too, so...
Gotta murder all the bad things.
Okay.
I call that a worst dog.
All right. So you feel good about yourselves, and a few more days go by, and then those two of you that have rings.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, one of the clerics asks you to come out and look at something.
Okay,
so you follow the cleric up and outside, and he says, "We've been finding these tracks on the grounds every now and then. And at first we thought it was just someone playing a practical joke, especially because of the nature of what we were finding, but we don't think that someone would be doing this joke this often." And he shows you the tracks, and give me survival checks, both of you.
Natural 1.
Okay. So basically what he shows you is there's handprints in the snow. And clawed footprints in the snow too. I mean, if someone was walking their dog and walking with the dog, but on their hands, that would make sense, but at the same time, not make any sense whatsoever. Do you know anything about this?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm assuming with a natural 1, I know nothing.
If he hadn't pointed to the tracks, you wouldn't have seen them. You were focusing on where your snowman was. Well, Snow Dragonborn. It's still there. It's mostly finished. No one's messed with it.
Yeah.
There's a few more that have been built since then.
That's funny.
Most of them look a little bit like Fenix, but not really. Sorry, what was that?
Could it be another one of those critters from the Swordborn?
Did you tell the clerics about that thing?
I don't know. I was asking Sox.
Say that again?
Daldane is asking if it could be another one of the critters from the food room.
Do the footprints look like that, from what we would recall?
you know that what you fought was kind of like a dog, but really not a dog, and its front paws were hands.
It could be. I'm assuming the tracks lead off somewhere.
Well, with a roll of a 1 and a roll of a 6, they certainly do. You don't know where.
There's not much we can really do at the moment. Now with the is it snowing currently, or is it?
It's not currently snowing.
Do you know when the tracks are being left?
It snowed the day before, so these happened very recently.
Fresh.
The 4 of us should come outside and wait and keep an eye out.
Yeah, but the other 2 can't. Only us 2 can. We have the rings.
Well, all 4 of you could, and 2 of you would just stay here until spring.
Well, how long could Gox and Zeely last outside?
They're cold-blooded, that's the problem. They wouldn't last long.
They wouldn't last an hour, and an hour would be lucky.
But they could last long enough for me to cast Liam's tiny hut.
Yeah. They probably would not enjoy the experience, but yes.
And then it's comfortable inside the hut and transparent from inside the hut.
This is also true.
So we can just sit there and keep an eye out.
That is also true. And it warms my heart to know that you have Lemon's tiny hut, but the wizard in the other campaign does not, even though he's looked for it on more than one occasion.
Here's the thing. Funny part is, the 2 bards in both these campaigns have tiny hut, and the wizard does not.
Mm-hmm.
He might
as well.
He might have had access to it, but there was a fireball incident that he caused that may have burned up the spell book that had that spell in it.
Does that mean Zaylee is more careful with fireball than
Ari? Yes.
He was like, "This isn't my place; it's a sunk cost." And then he found out later that the place had been willed to him.
Mm-hmm.
Zeely is much more careful than the, 28-year-old more responsible Aristobulus Raven.
Whoops. Yep. Well, this is obvious by the fact that he frequently encourages a 5-year-old kobold sorcerer with a penchant for destruction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And glitter.
And Vex.
Glitter, which is worse than destruction.
Glitter.
Vex,
oh, yes. 28-year-old
has to be the disciplinary dad, and he doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
This is turning into a table call session. I'm not necessarily opposed to that. So let's skip over the RP that leads to this and assume that the party is now sitting inside Lehman's tiny hut, outside, in the snow, waiting for whatever might occur.
Getting Zeely out there involved her insisting on wrapping herself in some kind of thing and casting prestidigitation on it constantly to try to warm it up.
Zeely looks a bit more like a shambling mound at this point because that every time she walked past a blanket, she sort of just picked that one up and put it on top of the others.
So Gox got there by trying to outrun the cold and run as fast as he can towards the hut.
Okay. So, Gox used athletic prowess. Zeely used preparation.
I wondered.
This works. Okay. So, I'm assuming this is going to take place at night because no one's seen anything during the day. So, makes sense that you would do this at night. Also, you don't have problems seeing outside.
Right.
Okay. So, it's kind of like camping. You do make s'mores.
Gox is happy. Yes. We have food. Yes.
It's kind of sticky. The chocolate is great, though.
Has there been a rest in... Oh, wait. You said time passed.
Yeah. You've had a long rest since the last encounter.
Oh. Okay. So we'll hit that button again.
Yep. And things start to get a little boring. Everyone give me a constitution save.
Okay. No problem. I've rolled a 7.
20.
Constitution is +2, so I have 9. I think.
Okay, so here's 12. How we're going to RP this.
Your con save is +5.
Is it?
Then. Yeah, it's your con
save. Okay.
So what's your total then?
I don't know. I rolled a 7.
Okay.
So 13.
So you got a 13.
Oh. Okay. I'm trying to find
that. So Zeely and Gox, both sort of fall asleep, pretty much due to boredom. Zili was doing stuff to keep you entertained, but there was only so much of it before it started to repeat. And you sort of fall asleep leaning on each other. It's like one of you is on the other person's shoulder, or the other person's head is on their top of their head.
Cute.
Yeah, it's adorable.
I think that Gox is the one that has Zili in his lap, because Zili's the tiny one.
Right, and he's hugging her like a teddy bear because he's asleep and thinks that's probably
That works too. I was going for the head on the shoulder thing, but that works too.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
That's cuter.
All right. With that said, Daldane, you're still awake. You're being vigilant. I assume that you were playing something in the meantime, which was keeping you active and alert. Unfortunately, it had the side effect of being soothing music, which helped to put your two companions to sleep. Whoops.
Oops.
Yes. Sox, you are still awake because it's sort of like the scene from Simpsons, Can't Sleep, the Clown Will Eat Me, Can't Sleep, the Clown Will Eat Me, except replace clown with thing made of worms.
Yes. Spot on.
Yes. And in fact, you've had some dreams recently which may or may not have been this thing trying to cross over. It might have just been PTSD. You don't know which. You frankly don't care. You just like it to stop.
What is it with my DMs giving my characters PTSD? Second one in 2 weeks.
Technically, you had this previous session.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just continued. PTSD does not go away. It is an ongoing issue that needs maintenance, not a cure.
Right.
All right. However, that does allow you to be more alert. Perhaps too alert, because you're noticing every little thing. Was that a twig that snapped? Oh, that was Daldane cracking her knuckles. Oh. But what you don't miss is the sound of several howls. And I don't mean moving castles.
I don't like that.
Give me a perception check.
Is that both of us or just socks?
Both of you, because you're both awake for it. The howls are loud enough that you don't miss them.
Trying to math them. 25.
Okay. So Daldane, you're like, oh, this is bad. Sox, you're like, oh, we're surrounded. And that's where we're going to end it tonight.
Oh, wow.
No!
Thank you, everyone, for playing. This has been Circulus Pack Tactics. I have been Crash. Is there anything that anyone wants to plug?
Jen and I have things.
Yeah. Go.
Ladies first. Ladies first.
Okay. Okay, so you can find me on Twitch at Queen of Haiku, or as Queen of Haiku, once in a while, mostly playing Diablo 3. And everything else is at my website, which is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net, and it's got a bunch of gaming stuff, mostly D3, and a bunch of other stuff, and 2 podcasts total. And that's bookofjen.net. I think that's it.
You can find me on Twitter at @Akari_Mag, or you can find me on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast, azerothctc.net. A new episode will be going up today, if not tomorrow. And we talk about war fronts, and I'm literally there complaining for half an hour. So that's fun. Jen and I do have a shared one, though.
Yeah.
We're going to be at Con Before the Storm this year.
Yes.
On panels.
Uh-huh. Not the same one, though.
Not the same one, but no. We're on panels. Come Before the Storm, November 1st. I will be on the BlizzCon kickoff panel and podcasting panel at between 5 and 6 at the Anaheim Hilton on the 4th floor. And Jane?
I'm going to be on the Storm panel, which takes place after BlizzCon on November 2nd. We're not really sure exactly what time or when it's going to be there. I'll be representing Shattered Soulstone, which is a Diablo 3 podcast that I've been a part of for a very long time in one capacity or another. And yeah. Whole bunch of other people from different shows and different types of shows, and it'll be good.
That'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Gonna be a lot of fun.
Yay! People are doing things.
Yes.
So Ellie, what do you have to plug?
Your mom's back.
No, that would be Io.
I was saying that as you said Ellie.
I run a social network at elek.xyz, ELEKK. And that's about all.
There are a lot of awesome people on there, and I'm there too.
And it's really nice. I'm over there as well. I like it so much better than Twitter. It is lovely.
There's a significantly smaller number of Nazis.
This is true.
By about 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would put it around there, yes. Mm-hmm.
And everyone should buy Io's mom's books at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
Yes, the website that I can never remember for some reason, because as it never occurs to me that it's just literally her name.
Elizabeth-mccoy.com.
All right.
And I remembered that, which is why I said the web address. Sometimes I remember things. Don't expect this to happen again.
It's impressive.
I know. That's why I'm setting myself up for failure. All right, so that was awesome. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you hopefully next week and find out what these things are going to do. Maybe they just want to play fetch.
We're going to die.
With what, though? With what is the problem?
With our broken bodies.
And then I'm going to finally get the cast Fireball.
Oh, no.
Oh, that'll be glorious.
What have I done?